This is the U.S. Roundtable for January 11th, 2014 on the United We Strike Radio Marathon. And I would like to welcome to our roundtable discussion Karen Quintos-Tato, Suzanne Pozell, Am Rosen, Vinny Eastwood, and of course Matt Navarro. Folks, you are live.
Everybody wants to wonder who's going to speak first.
Yeah, thanks, thanks, Gary. Thanks, Gary, for all the wonderful work. I was speaking to myself, apparently. I couldn't find the mute button. Don't know how these high-tech things work. But thanks, Gary, for producing today and being a gracious host as well. I really have come to enjoy this part of our broadcast because we kind of put a wrap on things and close with everyone's thoughts on current events or what's up on their mind, what's bugging them. And it's a real good format for our listeners to get a little more familiarity with our hosts. And we have such wonderful hosts on UnitedWeStrike.com. And I'd like to thank all our hosts who are gathered here this evening and for their continued support and participation in the UnitedWeStrike.com marathons, because they realize, I hear it in their voices when they speak and they have that passion, they realize this is it for humanity. It's either we work now to save what we've got or can go back to what we think we'd like, or it's over. It's game over. So I appreciate everyone, and I hope everyone's had a great holiday season. I had thought about picking a topic for tonight, but since this worked well through our other marathons, we'll just go around the virtual table here and get what's on everyone's mind. Sounds like, though, you're pretty itching to get going.
Well, yes, perpetually. Good evening, everybody. Hi. Yes. Well, you know, I've been listening to all the great shows, which I really appreciate. Vinny, you were bringing up how, you know, there you – I always tell people you can't afford to buy what I'm giving away for free. But you were bringing up the point about how you're out there doing this and people think negatively of you. And this comes back to what I was trying to bring up, which – I think it's a tremendous factor in all the changes we all see that humanity has to process through right now. The as I said, feelings are irrational, no matter how logical you can be in a given moment. And when you're asking somebody to open up more, whether or not you realize it, you're asking them to go through whatever is in the way, keeping them from being open within themselves. That's a fear mechanism. And so if in what you're presenting, which they've succumbed to, they're full of shame for having given in, for not having fought their way through to greater clarity. But they're, you know, they're trying to become comfortably numb, so to speak, not too conscious. And when you bring up something, when you ask for greater intimacy, greater openness, you're asking them to confront the very things they're willing to trash their lives to avoid. It's not a rational process, but that's a lot of what's coming up for people. On the other hand, what I want to, and I keep emphasizing, because I think it's something new for the public, and I'd love any comments or we could get into a discussion on this, it's a change of consciousness that has to come. And I don't just mean an intellectual idea about unicorns and butterflies. I'm talking pragmatic, right into the metabolic nuts of the bolts in the body. But augmenting the system to get rid of these age-old drag lines so people are not afraid to communicate, so they know how to take their space, open it up, and they never feel afraid of being trapped or cheated or stuck. And I'm not just talking about this as intellectual idea. I'm talking about this as pragmatic technique, functional technique. But the first thing, of course, is to make people aware that this is available and the kind of difference it can make in their output and their personal satisfaction. And I'd love to go on with that, but let me throw that open to everybody.
Well, I think you contribute something really great, and that's what everybody does at United We Strike, and that's due in no small part to the mentality of Karen Quintos-Tato. You know how you attract the kind of person that you already are to a degree, and that's what's so great about United We Strike. There's lots of hosts, but no parasites.
Okay.
Interesting. Oh, Karen.
Thank you, Vinny, honey. I'll get you your money later.
Well, look, Karen, you always talk about the spiritual side of to the equation. You're always, you know, you're into these crystals now, and you're all about the spiritual growth that Am talks about, that we probably indeed need to think about. Your thoughts on this is pretty interesting.
Well, thank you, Matt, and thank everyone here. It's so nice to be back here. It's like old times again. And I've enjoyed having this Saturday off from my local now contributions at the farmers market. And the reason that I am really working on myself is because I think it was last June when they evacuated Fukushima. And I realized that our lives actually, if you believe a lot of what we hear, and I frankly am at a loss as to just what and how much of what to believe, but Fukushima could blow at any time. And if we actually knew that we only had a week, a day, an hour to live, how would we change our lives? I thought it was interesting that today on their section, Alan and Steve were talking about that in terms of Comet Ison. If Comet Ison, in fact, had been on a trajectory point to our planet and we only had so much time to live, what would we do? How would we live? And they started saying, well, of course, we'd quit our jobs. We'd say goodbye to our friends. We'd make amends. We would begin to live our lives. And that is the point that I finally have arrived at. I have been before very frustrated at the fact that people are still getting hurt like this. They're still not seeing the bigger picture. And while it is still frustrating, I've realized that compassion is most needed. We don't know just the real truth of anything. It's so subjective. We have people who are giving their lives for Jesus or Muhammad, you know, blowing themselves up to try and make a point. And we have death and destruction all around us. We have people everywhere who are waiting to step into this evolution of conscience or be able to awaken to the great golden age while still living in the dark ages, trashing our world and expecting that once we trash our world, the landlord of the universe is going to say, cool, yeah, now you guys can step into the penthouse. And that doesn't make any sense to me at all. So I am also understanding how from the moment we're born, and sometimes even from before we're born, in terms of being messed with ultrasounds and what our mothers are subjected to during pregnancy and the frequencies when you hear Deborah speak, you know, some of us will never even know that we have a choice. But when we start to connect the pieces in history, when we start to look at boycott from the beginning of coining that word from Captain Charles Boycott, a land manager in Ireland, who came down on the tenants for his land owner in England and kicked out 11 tenants who couldn't afford to be kicked out. You know, the crops were down, but you got to get everything for England. Remember the potato famine. Remember all the things that have gone wrong in our system, and really, they go back to greed. They go back to people using other people and the lie of inequality. Not to say that down here we're equal, but the equal part of all of us is that divine essence that gives us breath. And in my opinion, when finally we look at that, when we honor that and all of life, when we honor that divine breath within each other, we can stop and we can cooperate with nonviolence to change our world, which is why the 15th is still so very important. Imagine the world, instead of millions of us going out and striking or picketing and having thousands of the feds come in or using their LRADs or whatever other horrors they have for crowd control, if we're home, if we stay home to break the momentum, to break that profit chain, to flash crash the Fed like they flash crash us and manipulate all our markets. If we stay home, they have no targets. And if we do stay home, we can begin to step back from being pushed over the brink. We break that momentum and then start to look at our families. how can we best serve our families if we're taken away from them every day because of a just over broke job? We can't. So if we really want to be good stewards of our planet, which so badly needs us, then we'll remember that there are prophecies from the Rainbow Warrior Tribe about in the end times, which in my belief is now, when the earth so badly needs us, when the waters are being poisoned, people of all ages and creeds and colors will come together to rise and unite to create a better world, which makes them the heroes of their own lives. And at this time of year, I'd like to encourage us all to become a rainbow warrior and to stand with us at United We Strike, because you are your own leader. We stand shoulder to shoulder here. We help one another. And all we have to do is believe in cooperation and nonviolence. And we could wake up on the 15th and totally forget about money and begin rebuilding locally. But when millions of us, and as Detlef pointed out today, if we have 92 million homeless people in the United States, we can begin to take care of our brothers and sisters and get them back into those houses that are going to ruin. There's no reason why an empty house should be empty when you have people on the street. And this is all around the world. So those are my thoughts, Matt, that we need to embrace that energy that gave us all the breath of life, honor that within each other, and cooperate in nonviolence to rebuild our world, beginning in our homes, in our neighborhoods, and in our communities. And the only time for a massive show of strength in terms of people actually getting out on the streets is in their local area when a child has been thrown out of school because he drew a picture of a sheriff with a gun or ate a cookie that looked like a gun, or when someone like Melanie is picked up because she's actually outing what's happening with the RFID frequency chips, and when she's threatened to be, you know, put under psychiatric evaluation, all the rest of it, simply for speaking her mind. None of us is safe until all of us are safe.
Mm. Thank you, Karen. Those are exactly the reasons why you identified we are here at UnitedWeStrike.com. You know, it's making sure we help awaken our friends, families, and neighbors so that they can awaken others. We have to do that, like you say, on a global scale, else we fail here at this point in history. We are at that precipice. Suzanne, do you want to carry this part of the conversation on, or do you have something else on your mind that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I'd like to touch on Fukushima as well, because that is something that we need to have an open conversation about.
Excellent. Go ahead.
I recently wrote an article that got the attention of everyone, mainstream, independent, everyone, CEOs, experts, nuclear scientists. I opened a conversation for people to gather credible information so that we don't have to be scared, but we do have to realize that TEPCO has been caught lying and continues to lie. The Japanese government has put a piece of legislation through that puts a moratorium on reporting directly from the Japanese government, reporters in Japan, newspaper outlets in Japan, including any information that TEPCO gives out, not understanding and downplaying the severity of Fukushima is a gross miscalculation for the entire Northern Hemisphere. And it's not just us, it's our ecosystem. You know, if everyone's so concerned about biodiversity, this is something we should be paying attention to. Entire areas and pockets of our Pacific Ocean are dead zones. Animals are washing up on shore that have seals have their skin just melting off of them up in Alaska. I live in the Great Northwest, and one of the things I love is Chinook, wild Pacific salmon. I can't eat that. I can't feed that to my children. We can't go to any of the beaches out here in the Northwest because they're all irradiated. And I live in a seaside town. You can actually see the bay from the second story of my house. So I have all of this beauty around me that I cannot enjoy, and I don't know to what degree I need to be concerned. And there's a lot of misinformation. Iodine is only good for the first 160 days of direct exposure. People need to look into zeolite. They need to look into triple filtration systems. We need to start eating foods that combat the effects of radiation in our system. Zeolite is incredible. They handed it out. 500,000 tons were handed out to residents right after Chernobyl because it eats radioactive material. You take it, it doesn't, it's not like chemotherapy. You kill the host in order to get rid of the problem. It does nothing bad to your system. All it does is it eats the radioactive elements in your system. And you can take it for secondary exposure, which is what we're talking about when we talk about what's going on in the United States and thereon. We need actual information. We need an open discussion. We need an open dialogue. There are a lot of nuclear scientists that I spoke to after I wrote that article, when I wrote my second article. Michio Kaku, George Edwards from a nuclear coalition up in Canada, the founder of the Kesha Foundation, who's a nuclear scientist, they've all been saying for years now, since it happened, that Fukushima is underreported and the information that we're getting is just a tiny fraction of what's actually going on there. And so to expound on what Karen was saying, we need to open the dialogue. We need to have open communication with each other, with governments, with scientific experts, to know exactly what we need to do, not to protect ourselves from the radiation, because we can't, but we can mitigate the damage to our bodies. And if we don't want to end up like people in Chernobyl years later who have horrible birth defects and problems with their thyroid, and in Japan right now there's a massive influx of thyroid cancer, we can protect ourselves. But if the information that we're getting from the media and from the experts is erroneous and doesn't make any sense, it's not steam, it's not like blowing out in a cold day and you see water vapor, that's not what we're discussing. This is radioactive steam coming from a corium deposit that is basically nuclear reactive lava sitting at the bottom of the reactor. And the only things separating that corium from the ground underneath the containment unit is concrete. And concrete is very porous, ladies and gentlemen. And when they do groundwater testing for miles out from the center at Fukushima, they find massive amounts of radiation in the groundwater. So everyone's drinking it. If we can't trust the outside, then we need to mitigate the damage ourselves. But we need good information so that we can make good decisions. And so that's my only comment or contribution to the current conversation.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up, because that's what I wanted to focus on in the segment we had JP on, was Fukushima, because it is a very pressing issue in our time. You know, everything you said about it was spot on, and I'm glad you brought attention to it, because we don't have enough information, as you say. I try to track it through enews.com and fukreport.com, but that's not always, you know, accurate. And so that you've had contact with some of these scientists, I'd like to talk to you off air about scheduling some guests on my show, because I wanted to bring this up on my next show in February. I'm glad you brought this up. Maybe we can touch base a little bit more about Fukushima and later on in this roundtable. But Gary, we want to give you an opportunity to chime in what's on your mind this new year.
Well, you know, the Fukushima issue has got to be number one, but I'll tell you, if you're looking for solutions to Fukushima, it's too late. It's too late. The damage is already done. There is no way to solve it. The island of Japan will be a dead zone within the next generation. And it's just a fact. I mean, you know, we just have to, you know, face facts. about the only thing we can do at this stage in the game is learn the lesson of Fukushima and shut down all the plants here in the United States. We've got hundreds of the thing. I don't know how many. I think it's about 120. We've got 24 plants that are of the same antiquated design that blew up in Fukushima. If there's a lesson to be learned from Fukushima, it's that we don't need nuclear power. There are other alternatives out there. They're shutting down the coal-burning plants here in the United States, and that's bloody stupid. If anything, we should be building new coal-burning plants so that we can phase out these nuclear plants. The bottom line is it takes many, many years to decommission a nuclear power plant. It's not something where you can just walk in tomorrow and turn off the switch and pretend it never existed. No. It takes 5 years, sometimes 20 years, to bring one of those things down safely to where, you know, people can actually get someplace close to it where you can start disassembling it. And even then, the remnants of the plant are so radioactive that probably the best thing you can do is just, you know, pump the containment building full of boron-impregnated concrete and put a big fence around it and say, you know, no admittance for the next 25,000 years. The lesson of Fukushima is that nuclear power was a mistake back in the 1950s. It was ridiculous in the 1960s. We should have learned our lesson with Three Mile Island in the 1970s. We really should have kind of caught on when Chernobyl went up. Okay, here we are. We're presented with it again. Do you think maybe it might be time to shut that thing down? We really, really, really don't need nuclear power. How are we going to solve the Fukushima issue? I'm sorry. There is nothing within our current technology that can fix that problem. There's nothing we can do. Suzanne mentioned some things you might be able to, you can, unfortunately, it's kind of like putting a condom on after you've been out for a hot date on Friday. It's probably too late at this point for Fukushima. Next question is, when's the next one going to go out? Shut them down. That's the only real answer. That is the lesson we should take away from Fukushima. And that's my 50 cents.
I agree with you. We should learn a lesson there. But I disagree with you in that we have nothing more we can do. If TEPCO, if Japan really were interested in resolving the issue, they would have reached out to the international community and asked for help. We've got engineers galore around the world with ideas. I'm sure between a few brain cells, they could come up with something that would at least help mitigate what they've currently got. You look at what just happened this past week with TEPCO. Well, their water filtration system had to be shut down for a few days because a crane went out. Like Suzanne was describing, they have this smoke rising from number three that is reported to be steam, but how do we know if it's not steam or an actual criticality occurring? Something needs to be done. We just can't throw our hands up at this point and say, well, it's over, next point.
There is a solution, but nobody wants to even consider it. It would require the use of multiple neutron bombs.
I don't see how that's going to help. That's just
You force it into full criticality so that the nuclear materials get burned in a very rapid nuclear reaction. Yes, it would make the northern part of Honshu totally uninhabitable for about the next quarter of a million years. But at least it would save the rest of the planet from absorbing anything additional. Unfortunately, you know, the solution to Fukushima is almost as bad as the problem.
Well, you know, there's this famous video from the 1970s. Suzanne, you may be familiar with this. It happened at Seaside, Oregon, or Cannon Beach, Oregon, excuse me, where this whale washed up on shore. And the bright idea from the state workers was, well, let's just put dynamite into it and blow it up, and it'll just blow it to bits, and that'll take care of it, you know? So news crews go out there, and they plant dynamite in this whale. And you can find it online, I'm sure. Look for KATU News, blow up whale, and you'll find it. And so they blow up this whale, and then as the news crews witness, chunks and body parts of this whale go flying everywhere while the main body of the carcass sits at the on the sand still. And meanwhile, these projectiles are you know, several hundred pounds of maybe the size of a Volkswagen bus falling on people who are around it as spectators, you know. So bombing Fukushima, I'm not so sure that's a good idea. I'm sure we could come up with a sarcophagus type idea or something, but I know we haven't applied the world's minds into a solution, so I don't want to give up hope on that yet, because I do believe this is the most pressing issue to humanity at this time.
Can I intervene here? Can I ask you guys a question? I want you to answer me honestly. Do you believe that there is a limit to human creativity and genius? That there's only so much that we can create, that there's only so much that we can think up, that there's only so much that we can construct, and then everything else is impossible? Do you believe that?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Then there is no such thing as giving up hope within the rational sphere, is there? And I wanted to go back. I've been waiting for about 20 minutes for you guys speaking to refer back to Karen's points earlier about, Comet Eisen hitting the Earth. Or some people have predicted that. And how would we change our lives? And if Comet Eisen was suddenly coming towards us, how would I change my life? I'd start living in denial. Okay, I've decided to be a perpetual naysayer to doomsday. All right? And he talked about the Rainbow Warriors and how, oh, when it's the end of the world, we're all going to unite and fight against it. Well, then it's not the end of the world, is it? Okay? All right? And I'm from New Zealand, okay, where there was a ship called the Rainbow Warrior that was bombed and sunk by the French. I know how hopeless situations can be.
Well, thanks for cheering me up, Ben.
You're welcome. All right? You know, that's what I'm here for, man.
Well, you know, I always live my life so that if I have to check out in the next moment, there's always more that I'd like to do, but everything up to this point is just fine. But, you know, every end is a beginning of something else. You know, we're talking about a confinement system. We're operating on certain principles that are very valid, like the scientific method, but they're still contained at one level of consciousness. We're all looking for a more expansive a space that will open us up, that will help us get a handhold on our problems, both individually and collectively. And that's the space I think we need to operate from. Radioactivity is particles that they're like, you need a sort of an atomic antioxidant. They're running ragged. They've been released. They have no stability because their containment field was disrupted. That's something with the right thought that could be applied, but we're not applying the right thought because we've become perverted on this miserable, irrational level of survival of our self-image. As our self-images have been able to grow because we've got more access through media and technology, that discrepancy, that fear is what's motivating the place. Do these people want to do anything that would threaten their position of access and power? No, not because if you ask them logically, they'd say, of course, we want the world to be a better place. That's not where they're operating from. They're frightened. But they've got the better position, the better berth. You know, if the ship sinks, I got more of a chance than you do. So they're not moving. And what we need to do is educate not only the public, but the people who are in these positions of power. And part of what we've got to give them is a real functional sense of how to enjoy their lives more, so they don't cling to these excuses and these justifications for why they're okay, because they don't feel okay. You know, people can have all kinds of material goods, accessories. I've seen it all the time. They can go off on lavish vacations, but they're so wound up, so in tight in their psyches, and their bodies are so disrupted because of that, that even though they go through the motions, it looks like some sort of a glorious commercial, they're not able to let go and receive it. When Karen talks about aligning herself with nature, walking through the woods, that's one technique, because nature has its own sense of balance, and a part of us is nature. But when we talk about spirit, we're really talking about unfettered awareness, or at least awareness that can find its own level in terms of what we're really capable of. And right now, we're not operating from the level we're capable of. And as long as we do, they keep running these problems, which are escalating, dangerously so, through the same old processes that never worked in the first place. And that's a big part of what we're all struggling with right now. Just a thought to share with you guys.
Indeed. These people are the zombies that think they're in charge, yeah, and they're living lives that they think are fulfilling. But, you know, I see them. I see people who think they're part of the elite club, but they look half dead to me. I mean, it's like they're on autopilot. The lights are on when no one's home. And
Matt,
they're half dead by being so toxified. Sure, go ahead, Vinny.
Some things are exactly as they appear. All right, now, this is what people don't get is that you know what? Actually, here's another point. I generalize too much. In fact, doesn't everybody generalize a little bit too much? We're not obsessed with the nitty gritty, you know, getting down to brass tacks here. Okay, take a breath. All right, just one breath. You know what that means? You're still alive. While your heart still beats, while the blood still flows, while the electrons still fire in your synapse, you can still do something, anything, as long as you choose not to do nothing. For it is doing nothing that is the very reason that we are in all of these terrible situations in the first place. And I think people need to remember that very important fact. You are still alive. Don't worry. It's just the end of the world.
Yeah, Vinny, but comatose bodies wasting away on hospital monitor blip screens have that kind of life. It's the quality of life is determined by your state of mind. You can have all the right accoutrements, and it can be a beautiful day. If you're in the wrong state of mind, you can't enjoy it. Yeah. What is the optimal state of mind that's needed to turn all this into a whole new direction, operate from a whole new level?
Well, Lao Tzu once famously said that if you're depressed, it's because you're living in the past. If you're anxious, it's because you're living in the future. If you're at peace, it's because you're living in the now.
Well, you know, I have a question, too. Is it, Anne, really your state of mind or possibly your state of heart? You know, I think that so many times we're not thinking enough with our heart.
As long as it's not the state of New Jersey, I'm happy.
but that's a beautiful question. But, you know, and it's one of the problems right now with all these things. I believe in this aspect of God and everything. What is heart? I would give you a functional description of that. When you move from contemplation through the meditative corridor, you learn to bring the intellect and all the emotional stuff that comes up to a state of quiescence, then you start to enter into fourth level consciousness. If you don't confuse how you got there, the technique, and you start to identify the spatial relations, the energy frequencies, this is more expanded rate of consciousness where you're not being constantly ambushed by your old emotional patterns is opening up to you, then you enter into walking meditation where you can stay in that state without having to rely on a particular technique to get you there. You can start to rearrange it. Then, from that state of clarity, because when you're in that state, there's no pain, there's no emotional confusion, no disturbance. From that state, you can focus back down through the ego mechanism, the self-imaging process, and you can realign the thoughts and the feelings and the body into a state of dynamic harmony. But that's operating from the heart level of consciousness. We don't want people to say, yeah, you got to have heart. What does that mean? It's like saying love and peace and understanding. What are they? It's like saying, I believe in God. Great. You have, what is belief? How does it operate? What is it giving you access to? How can you get more access? How can you get rid of the little things that are diverting you from having that access? So agreed, because when you're in the heart, you have more control. You're more at ease. And when you're not, you're juggling. You're caught in the turbulence of maybe this, maybe that, and all the emotional nonsense and pains we create in our body because of it.
Well, yes, I know Bob? That lately I'm considering myself more a heartist instead of artist. I am a heartist. I put my heart into what I believe, into my life. And when we talk about Fukushima, I definitely think that this is a huge, huge issue that we the people need to rise up or actually step back and say, no, I refuse to work until all nuclear power stations are closed, peace is declared, and all troops are sent to their home states to help rebuild. I'm getting a lot of feedback. I'm not sure where it's coming from. But that's an issue that, why can't we do that? Why can't we look at the 15th and say, okay, we have so many reasons to strike? And I really want to encourage you, if you missed the earlier roundtable, go back and check it out on my blog page. I have links to the bonus soldiers who were World War I soldiers who were promised a raise. The Depression hit. The raise they were promised wasn't supposed to come in until 1945. They were in the Depression, and they needed to have this money. They went to Washington. 10,000 of them were outside of Washington when they took the vote, 62 against 18-4. Can you imagine the audacity, the ego, the traitorous people in the Senate who sold them out? You know, we've got to stand together, but we could actually say, all right, we're staying home. There's no reason to go to work. Why should I go out? It's radioactive. I want to know what's going on. What is radioactivity really? And who's doing the dishes back there?
Yeah, yeah. Well, as I say, in Oblivion, don't go into the radiation zone. Now, I've got this idea, actually, of this post-apocalyptic wasteland that we're all going to wind up having to deal with, right? Like, it'll be right out of the movies. It'll be like, I don't know, the Book of Eli or Elysium or something like that. There'll be some people who are like living it high and mighty and what have you, and all the rest of us will just be slaves, you know, picking a living, scratching it off rocks and what have you. Now, my concern about life itself is people don't appreciate it for what it is and what it can be, more to the point. If you are born and you have certain influences in your life, they can change you, right? And my greatest realization of the past few weeks was the realization that you cannot develop without suffering and pain. Anybody who attempts to avoid suffering and pain their entire life will never develop. All right, that's my perspective. I could be wrong. Maybe being hairy fairy and never actually experiencing any challenge in your life is the true path to strength. I don't know. But I don't think so. And therefore, every opportunity that you have to experience pain, suffering, challenge, confusion, anxiety, stress, etc., should be relished and cherished, not feared and not regretted.
True, Vinny, yes, but we don't want to make that a model. You know, the suffering icon That's just a temporary way station. We want to get on to the resurrection, not the crucifixion. Yes, the pain, suffering comes from not understanding. It comes from ignorance. Pain, whatever the pain, is a block flow of energy. Something is interfered with it. We want to understand it, understand why we were susceptible and vulnerable, and then we want to make those changes. So at least if we have to encounter other things, we don't have to keep going redundantly over the same line and keep bumping our heads into the same wall. But I agree with you.
That we should actually, once we've experienced a certain amount of pain and we've figured out how to avoid it, we should start seeking out new forms of pain and suffering in order to teach ourselves how to avoid them as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, but I guarantee you, if you reach for the pleasure, if you really, and I don't mean a distraction from pain or boredom, if you reach for a more expanded, more fulfilling state of awareness, anything that's in the way is got to come up. So you don't have to seek out pain. All you have to do is seek out what's better, more fulfilling.
Well, I don't know about
that.
The pain
will come up.
I don't know about that because I think it was earlier last year, I had enough donations and automatic payments and everything coming in so that I didn't actually have to worry about money anymore. And I started to become lazy. I started to think life was easy. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to pray on this. And I'm going to ask God to send me some suffering, to send me some pain. Other people, they pray for good things. I pray for bad things. The difference between it being I actually get my prayers answered. So not a week after I prayed for pain and suffering, PayPal cancelled my account. About 80% of my income disappeared. It destroyed my life, and I had to get back to square one really begrudgingly. And I was like, thank you, Lord. Now I know and I remember what it's like to be alive, what it's like to have challenge, what it's like to have fear and anxiety, and it made me appreciate those times where I didn't have to have those. And I think without the contrast, we have nothing.
You're right. I think we learn by our challenges in life. I personally don't recommend people go out and find things that will cause them pain and physical suffering, like crashing your car into a brick wall, seeing if that feels good. No, I wouldn't go that route, but I agree with all of your sentiments that, you know, our state of consciousness, our state of mind has a effect on how we conduct ourselves and how we feel about life in general. It goes back to what Anne was saying earlier about, you know, you can go through the motions, you can have all the accoutrements of life, but unless you're in that good spiritual place, you're not going to get value out of that. And that's why I respect all of you, because I think all of you know this, and that's why you're here participating. You come out of your own comfort zone to help teach and inform others about what's really going on in the world and try to offer ideas, suggestions from your heart to help our fellow human beings. So I would encourage all of you as radio hosts, you know, give a plug for United We Strike's marathon every month, because what work we do here is very valuable.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the right state of mind certainly makes you more resilient to life's little hurdles. I mean, everybody confronts issues during their life. You know, there's no way to totally avoid it, no way to be totally insulated from trials and tribulations. But if you proceed through life with the right attitude, you're certainly much more resilient and able to rebound from those challenges. I think that's really where Am's coming from, and I respect his opinion. I think it's a good point of view.
Well, if I may, these are the lessons that need to be learned early on in life. They need to be learned in childhood, I think. The problem with parenting nowadays, of course, speaking not as a parent, how arrogant is that people want to wrap their children in bubble wrap, hope that they never experience a lick of hurt or anything. They cuddle them profusely when they cry and what have you. We're producing a mollycoddled society to a large degree, and I think that if you do not experience or comprehend this mentality of that you must experience from time to time trials and tribulations in order to strengthen yourself, much like steel is strength tested before it is made into a bridge which everybody can travel over without the threat of it falling into the river, as happened in the United States not too long ago. if those lessons are learned earlier on, imagine the kind of adult suffering and stagnation, actually, that we could prevent, right? That's the part of the reason, I think, why our human society has become so easily manipulated, easily controlled, easily socially engineered, is because people don't value their life because they've never had it actually threatened before.
Well, I think that I definitely agree with you in terms of, like, when I look back on my life, some of my most important lessons came from some of the most painful times. And it wasn't fun at all. I think that a lot of people here and a lot of us, a lot of truthers, which I carry as a badge of honor and courage, we have been through the mill, and it does give us more sympathy. And when we are living in these times where, with Fukushima, with everything going on, when you hear about 100% of the people in Brussels who showed up to see whether or not they had a hidden RFID chip turned out positive, you know, we're being assaulted everywhere. To me, Fukushima is a very important reason, and it is the reason why I did step back. I stopped doing the Wide Awake News. I'm only going to do this, and now, Suzanne, I will be happy to contribute when an article decides it wants to write me. I'll be happy to contribute that. But I think the bigger thing, too, is in these times, we have to lose our fear of death. I know I just kind of have a leap of faith. I just trust that there's a bigger picture here than I'm aware of. I don't know what's happening in terms of the Galactic Federation. I don't know what's happening in terms of the fourth or fifth dimension. I know the truth when I look around me is that our Earth desperately needs us to stand up now and become the good stewards that I believe our true job is, the joy of being.
I was watching a kung fu movie the other day, and this fighter was being trained, and he was told by his master, "You have no fear of death. You think that makes you strong, but it actually makes you weak. A man who is afraid of death will fight twice as hard as the man who is not."
Interesting thought. Karen, I lost my thought there because of what Vinny was saying.
My bad.
How about the person who is not afraid of death will love twice as much, because death, the fear is a mind killer. It's what contracts you, shuts you down. Being beyond the fear, so you only get the fear when you don't understand. When you do, then you expand, and of course, you're going to have to go through even more changes to make that expansion there. But it's a movement towards the positive, not just away from the negative.
Well, you mentioned fear, and to my mind, we fear things that we don't understand. And Karen, you've been mentioning this all day, and I've been meaning to tell you about it, so I'll just take the time on the air now, because you question what comes after we die. You've been questioning that all day. So might help you, and it has comforted me. I read a few books sometime back, maybe 20 years ago now, but they're still valuable books, were written by Dr. Raymond Moody. And what he did was studies on people who had what we call near-death experiences, and they have commonalities in their experience, you know, from the white light to the past life review, and they report similar things. So you might want to look into that. And Daniel Brinkley has written a couple of books about his adventures once he's died, and it parallels a lot with what the other near-death experiencers report. So that might be somewhere for you to look into, you know, what might be on the side.
And thank you, Matt. I'm familiar with that, and it's part of the reason why I was so driven in 2012, thinking, okay, maybe this is it. You know, all this spiritual stuff coming to an end. And since then, I've basically had to face my own illusions, delusions, whatever. And while it makes sense to me that that would happen, and I am hoping that something goes on, I've come to the conclusion that until I actually get there, I don't know. Because a lot of the people I was listening to, they don't know either. You know, we're waiting for Glenn Greenwald to give us this information. But in February of last year, he was talking about Osama bin Laden and Mohammed Sheikh Khalid being in charge, being the heads behind 9/11. If he can't do his homework there, why am I going to listen to him? I listened to Theo, who were supposedly 12 archangels channeled through Sheila Gillette. And while there's some good content in there, And I kept saying to my own guides, okay, if I've got you, show up. If this is real, do it. I'm here. I want to prove to my husband this will work. I want to prove I'm not crazy. Where are the thoughts coming from that are in my head? I don't know. So I've just finally realized, Matt, that until I get there, I won't know, because these 12 archangels talked about Assad poisoning his own people. So if they don't know what's going on, how can I? So I've just tried to lose my fear of dying. Of course, it depends on the situation. It might not be cool. I'm hoping it's okay, and trust that somehow we're moving forward and we will be able to energetically, through quantum physics, through these microbes that are supposed to eat all sorts of the horrors, the radiation, that, you know, maybe we'll be able to work it out. And if we only do have a week, what are people's lives really about? How many of us are still waking up in the morning to go to jobs we hate, to supposedly protect our family, yet we leave them all day long, every day, running around to please other people?
And then criticize. And then spend the all your free time criticizing the people who are trying to prevent you from being even further enslaved and or exterminated.
I look at death this way. I look at death this way. And I live my life this way. If I died today, would I have regretted anything I've done? Well, maybe there's some. But as I live my life in the present, what I do in the present, do I feel comfortable with what I do? Do I make moral and just choices in my life? Do I do good for other people? And the answer usually is yes. Sometimes I'm not as good as other times. But I feel comfortable that I can go to sleep at night, and if I never wake up, I've done, you know, what I consider the good. Can I do better? Sure. But I'm comfortable with the fact that my legacy will be that I tried, and I did well, or at least I tried to do well and be good to other people. You know, I believe in the karmic piggy bank. I try to put money in the karma piggy bank every day, just by doing something nice for somebody, saying something nice to someone, or making a donation to a charity, whatever it is. And then, so, you know, hopefully that when I leave this planet, maybe there's a little change in there. I can donate to someone else.
I believe in the community piggy bank and the human consciousness piggy bank rather than the karma piggy bank. Like, I'll do a good thing for somebody, and then I will expect that they won't do anything good for me per se. But so, It's kind of like hit and miss. So let's say you do 100 good things for people and maybe about 10 people do something good for you. I think that's actually a reasonable rate of return. And it has nothing to do with karma. It has to do with you do something right. Other people see you doing something that is the right thing to do, and they come out and support you. Not because they believe in karma, but because they believe in natural law, justice. We can make Indeed. The world a better place if we take personal responsibility for making it so.
Bingo. And don't be waiting for Superman or Green Lantern to save you. It's up to you.
The worst thing you could ever do is
waiting for us to save them.
I know. I think the worst thing you could ever do is wait for a savior. All right? Because if somebody was going to save you, you wouldn't have to wait for them, would you?
Hey, invite them to listen to the marathon. Hey, it's getting towards the bottom of the hour, and again, it's been a great hour of conversation, but we need to wrap and give our great producer, Gary, a break. So let's go back around the table, give our closing thoughts, websites, self-promotion, that kind of thing. Vinny, you did a show with Thunder, and I started listening to that while I was cooking dinner last night. Intriguing information. I should have to go back to listen to it and pay attention.
He could solve Fukushima. It just occurred to me, and that's something I forgot to mention, actually.
Ask him, and then I'd be forever grateful, and I would like to have him on my show. But you were coming up with some really interesting points, and I was very impressed with your deep thoughts about humanity at several points that you made. So your closing thoughts from way in New Zealand.
Well, I want to ensure that people go and listen to that archive at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. I've only just started editing the video version of that while we've actually been speaking in the background here. So I've got two computers right next to me, both of which were donated. I'm speaking through a donated microphone. I film myself through a donated camera. I light myself up with donated lights. I'm wearing donated clothes. I've got everything. Everything that I have is absolutely donated, and that is the very reason why I believe in justice, because I'm doing the just thing, and people give me my just desserts. You see what I'm saying? Just so I can continue doing what I'm doing. Now, everybody has to go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and listen to that Thunder and Brad Molnar interview, because you're right, I was coming up with some really, really great thoughts about humanity. This isn't me being arrogant. This is me actually really accepting the importance of that broadcast. I gave it to my friend Mikhail, who plays songs with me, as you may have heard earlier, and he has been listening to talk radio for 4 years. He's woken up, and he said that broadcast with Thunder was the best he'd ever heard, whether it be the Vinnie Eastwood show or any other. Period. That's the best show on the internet, without question. That was his thoughts on it. I'm actually inclined to agree with him. I have never heard anything that good before. Anything as exciting, anything as important to the future of humanity. And I would encourage everybody, implore everybody to go and listen to that broadcast if you want to know what I'm talking about. You can go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and also I am moving house. I am still over $1,000 short on my move-in costs. Anybody who's listening to this, please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and donate either through PayPal or the bank account. Trust me, I'm worth it. Kind of like L'Oreal Paris, or maybe it's Maybelline, I don't know.
Indeed, Vinny. Thanks for being with us this month. We always appreciate your presence. You're fun to listen to, you know, and perhaps you and your friend are right about that program. Let's let our audience go to your website, listen to that, make up their own mind. Suzanne, I'd like to talk to you off air, but about Fukushima, so we can get the word out. But your closing thoughts today. Thank you for joining us. And what is your websites?
OccupyCorporatism.com is my main site. TheUSIndependent.com is the new standard in journalistic integrity, and we're bringing on more professionals every day. We're growing. Please come and join us and learn from these people. These people know exactly what they're talking about, and they have evidence to back it up, and they have the credentials, and they've worked in their fields, and they know exactly what they're talking about. I would like to plug my radio show, but I don't have it. I had to put it on hold right now because I'm looking at possibly speaking to much bigger audiences. And so even though I've gotten some great offers from many people in alternative media, I have graciously declined. So when you guys hear me back on the radio, it will be in a much larger setting, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm still doing interviews, so if anybody wants to contact me, OccupyCorporatism@gmail.com. And thank you, Karen, for having brought me on the United We Strike marathon. And I've learned so much from everyone who is on board with this, and the people that they know and the websites that they endorse. And it's a great service to the world at large. And thank you so much for providing this platform so people like me can come and talk about scary stuff.
We had very humble beginnings. We had very, very humble beginnings. We started off with borrowed computers from people we may not have wanted to associate with at the time. But, you know, we've grown up, and I'm glad you're part of this, Suzanne. You bring a host of information. You speak well. You're clear about what you're saying. So thank you for being a part of this, and good luck with your new show. Speaking of new shows, Am, congratulations on your GCN show. Tell us about that. Closing thoughts and any other promotion?
Oh, thank you. Well, the show is called Evolving the Species. We have a roundtable discussion. We have a different expert or a person who is in their chosen field to come on and talk about their discoveries, all kinds of things. And one of my contributions is the X Factor, because whatever you're talking about, consciousness is the dividing line. You can find, of course, go to my website, which is www.lifegame.com. Everything is working, except I apologize temporarily. I'm having a technical glitch with my podcast library. That should be up soon. You know, the the expansion towards our potential state of human fulfillment is the overall drive, but we get scared, we get hurt, we get shut down, and instead of doing that, and when we do that, we stagnate. We build up toxic residue. We create imbalances, whether it's in the body, and what you do to the body affects the psyche and vice versa. At the risk of this, you call it blatant self-promotion, I think that's really fun. I've spent a lifetime, and I don't want you to believe this. It's not your job to believe. It's my job to facilitate clear, accessible, demonstrable, logical understanding. I understand how human consciousness operates, how it's developed, why we have the difficulties we do with it, and how to change that. Give people what they need to catch up with themselves. It should be instituted from grade one on up gradually. It could change the education system, the healthcare system, a lot of systems, certainly the psychological system. And I hope people ask questions, because I really want to provide this information. I know you need it, and it's my privilege to be able to provide that kind of service. And to all of you, what a pleasure to participate. And, of course, kudos always to you, Karen. And just hope it's a great new year for all of us.
Thank you, Am, for your comments. Always well spoken. And like I said, congratulations on the show at GCN. You know, they have a big platform. They have a large audience. You'll have to compete with a lot of other great shows, but you're out there and you're doing the right thing, and we appreciate your time and Dean Lloyd's time here at United We Strike. And don't forget to plug us every now and then. Karen, your closing thoughts. You are always so well spoken. I like listening to you. So it's nice to have you back, at least for this month. Anything that you want to close with?
Well, I just want to say thank you. I am so honored. When I first started speaking out, I wanted to know who felt like I did. And while people don't feel exactly like I did, what is really great about this whole effort is we still can stand as one. We can agree to disagree on some topics, but also when we look back at different radio stations that have gone under and all the things that happen, here we are going on 5 years later, 4.5 years of just a crew who does this because we believe in this mission. And while other people have more money and are bigger and all the rest of it, they don't have the heart that we do. And I'm so grateful and honored that United We Strike is still on track. And Gary, when you said earlier, too, nobody's going to do it, we have to do it ourselves. And that's true. But it becomes easier when you realize all you need to do is cooperate in nonviolence with your neighbor. Nowhere in that sentence did I use the word money, because we do the labor anyway. Once we can detach ourselves from believing that our worth is dependent on colored pieces of metal or paper, our lives will improve. Once we understand that our true jobs are the joy of being good stewards of our world, and nothing is more important than putting a stop to all this radiation, than stopping the war, than stopping the violence and the corruption, look on the homepage of UnitedWeStrike.com. Look at my blog page, which I will be keeping up, as well as posting there to Suzanne. Look at the reasons, though, here in the strikes I've listed. Look at the Ludlow massacre with the Rockefellers, and look at Homestead with Carnegie, and look at the bonus soldiers, where the traitors really were the men in uniform we're taught to revere, Generals MacArthur, Eisenhower, and Patton, all fired upon veterans from World War I. If we want to stop this, we need to unite, we need to break the momentum, drop that profit, and start believing in ourselves, cooperation and nonviolence. The 15th is coming. Imagine what would happen if we had empty streets. And I love what Clint Richardson said that last night when we were talking, that it made him think that now if we're all home and they don't have any targets, they're going to have to send their LRADs and their speakers up and down streets saying, come on out and go shopping again. Go to Walmart. Go to the bank.
That's funny.
It's a great visual. So that's what I'm hoping for. United we strike, united we win. Thank you very much, and be the hero of your own life. You've got it in you. Plug in that divine umbilical cord.
Indeed, we need to be connected. You were talking about that heart with beats that beats within all of us. I agree. You mentioned money, though, how fake it is. Well, I still have this hope that, you know how they have on the American dollar right now, in God we trust, 2,000 years from now, I hope the money is printed on it that says death to the new world order. That would work. Anyway, Gary, your closing thoughts, your show, websites, self-promotion, all that good stuff.
All my blatant self-promotion.
By the way, thank you for all you do for UnitedWeStrike.com. It's a lot of work, and we appreciate your talent and your time.
It wouldn't happen without you, Gary.
Boy, you know, if I'm that important, I want a raise. I want a 20% raise. Right now I'm paid zero. So what's zero times 120?
I ask you to go check with the management at UnitedWeStrike.com.
Check with management about that raise. Well, to everybody out there, on the internet, I operate using a nom de plume, Smart Scarecrow. And if you're really interested in checking into any of my material, I have a YouTube channel where I routinely publish my audio video presentations. I have a website, smartscarecrow.com. You can hear me every Monday evening at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on the Rents Radio Network. I do a weekly broadcast for Rents. Thursday evenings, I vanity publish an alternative energy program on Justin TV. You can catch that from my website at smartscarecrow.com. And, you know, like so many others out there, you know, I sometimes get a little bit overwhelmed with all the various issues that we're confronted with. It can get to be a little intimidating when you think about, holy cow, you know, this week I'm being fooked, and next week I'm getting, you know, Corexited, and you know, I got the chemtrails, and I got the harps, and I got, you know, the Galactic Federation with the anal probing gray space aliens supposed to save me, and they just never seem to show up. Hey, look, many hands make light work. No one person is going to be able to solve all these problems. Pick one, just one, pick one that's important to you, and make that your issue. And please, you know, don't play down the importance of the guy next door who's chosen a different issue, because, you know, each of us needs to take on one or maybe two of these important issues. Pick the one that's closest to your heart. Make that your issue. Support the fellow next door who's chosen a different issue. Understand that no one person can take on all the various issues that we're confronted with. But if all of us pick one and start chipping away at it, we can make a difference. And if there's any message that I think is important to leave you with, that's it. Pick your issue. What is your issue? What have you done to solve it this week? Let the other guy worry about his issue. You grab hold of yours and make a change. Thank you. That's my bit.
Thanks, Gary. We do that here at UnitedWeStrike.com. We have our specialties. We have our niches. Not everyone can be comprehensive in all that they do, though we can have an interest in subjects, and we get to learn a lot from the people here that are hosts on UnitedWeStrike.com, and that's why we're here pooling our energies, each one of us doing our part in what we consider our issue. So well said. My name is Matt Navarro. My website is nwoder.com. There you will find archives of previous shows. You'll find the archive most currently I did with Dr. Rebecca Carley. We talk about Obamacare, and that towards the end of the show, we talk about ideas for keeping yourself healthy. Also, I have there on the link towards the bottom of the homepage, document called Dr. Gwen Scott's Tonic, and it is a tonic that she demonstrates in her DVD set how to make this tonic out of ginger, onions, garlic, and other ingredients. And it helps because it's a antibacterial, antifungal, and antiviral agent, and it has vinegar in it, organic vinegar in it, which is a healthy probiotic. So check that out. Every month, I am impressed by the caliber of the people I get to mingle with here at United We Strike. I am amazed that we have such a crew and we've lasted all these years and we just keep getting better. We sound better. We're getting more seasoned at what we do and we can deliver a more concise, clear message. And I am so humbled by that. And I say that every month, but I mean it. Okay. So for me, I'd like to just thank our audience for tuning in. Please encourage others to listen. You know, if you can't listen live, join us every second Saturday of the month. Wonderful. Just download our podcasts and spread them around. There's lots of good information. You'll probably want to download Lars Drugard's and Jesse Beltran's segment about the toys that the NSA uses on you. It was very enlightening to hear about the toys that they have there. But tell your friends about UnitedWeStrike.com. And join us in our strike. Join us in saying, don't buy, don't comply, ask why. Don't buy an Obamacare, don't comply with it, and ask why they even are trying to do that to you. So in closing, thank you, everyone. You have been a wonderful crew today. Thank you, Gary, for all your hard work. Until next month, folks, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Death to the new world order.
Hey, thank you, everyone.
Death to the new world order. I have the documents.
Night
I'm sorry, I'm ranting. I said I would take your calls.